Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. At his birth, in his childhood, in his early and later boyhood, as well as in his youth, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under different pleas, induced people to chant the holy name of Hari, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. So, there's no purport to this particular verse. We'll say Mangalacharan, and I'll begin reading from Prabhupada's sketch of Lord Chaitanya's life, and we'll go from there. Omegyana tamarandasya gyananjana shilakaya chakshum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So because I'm in no way a scholar of Chaitanya's pastimes, but we've been asked to speak about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and inevitably we'll begin by begging the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, so that by your mercy we can say something that will be useful and progressive and above all pleasing to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and all of His Divine followers. So just to set the scene with information that many of you will have heard, we know that Lord Chaitanya appeared in February 1486, and he appears in Mayapur. Mayapur is one area of the Navadvip district. And so Lord Chaitanya is appearing. He is the 10th child, right? The youngest son and the 10th child of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. And Jagannath Mishra had moved to Navadvip. Navadvip at the time was considered one of the centers of culture and education in India. And so you would have also many learned scholars who would come there and they would discuss and debate. We'll read maybe a little bit about the interesting exchange between Keshava Kashmiri and Lord Chaitanya in that respect. And so, at the time of Lord Chaitanya's descent, there was a lunar eclipse. And so this is considered to be inauspicious. And at the time, the people would actually go to bathe in the Ganga and they would recite auspicious mantras in order to, in some way, protect themselves from the inauspicious nature of a lunar eclipse. But let Prabhupada, and we will read this in a moment, he would also explain the significance of that. He writes that, he explains it in his biography. We also see that Lord Chaitanya, his pastimes took place on the earth for 48 years. And the first 24 of those years he spent in Navadvip. Towards the end of his pastime in Navadvip, he asks Keshava Bharati to give him sannyas, and then he leaves Navadvip in order to take sannyas. I think he goes to Katwa, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So, we understand that we are extremely fortunate to hear anything about this personality. Channa avatar, Gupta avatar, Lord Chaitanya is the hidden incarnation. Even amongst those who are proponents of the Vedas, or who have some cultural connection to the Vedic literature, still of all those personalities, very, very few get to hear about this personality. Very, very few get to hear about Lord Chaitanya. But it is a brilliant and extremely necessary stroke of mercy to have come across Lord Chaitanya as presented by Lord Chaitanya's servant, Srila Prabhupada. So we should always begin by recognizing our extreme good fortune. And recognition of good fortune means activity. The symptom that you recognize your good fortune is that you do something. If we do not do something with this fortune that we've been given, it means we did not really understand nor appreciate the value of this movement and the value of, in this age of Kali, getting to hear about Lord Chaitanya. And the reason why I chose this verse in particular is because when I was looking at these verses yesterday, there's actually many verses that we could have chosen. 13, 14, so many verses in this chapter, which is entitled The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this particular verse struck me. Lord Chaitanya, in one sense, the essence of his mission, and this began from the moment he took birth, is to induce people to chant the holy name of Hari. And I was thinking that therefore what this means is that also Gaura Leela, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Gaura Leela is also Nam Leela. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. That these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are inextricably interwoven with actually the pastimes of the holy name. The name has its own pastime. And when Lord Chaitanya is descending, the holy name is descending. Not just descending, but it is expanding across the entire world through the advent of this most merciful incarnation. So let us read through some points, some pastimes that Prabhupada talks of, and then just bring out various understandings. So as I said, this is from the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada gives a sketch of Lord Chaitanya's life. It is also interesting that Prabhupada puts this sketch at the beginning of Bhagavatam. One may take it that in order to understand and appreciate the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, one must gain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, to in any way approach Lord Krishna in this age, one must achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To really appreciate. Because Krishna is very, very difficult to appreciate. He is approached through his devotee. Lord Chaitanya is Bhakta Avatar. He is the Lord, but the Lord in the form of the devotee. And he is captured by the mood of the greatest devotee of Krishna. The only devotee who can give or grant anyone access to Krishna, who is none other than Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. That mood, bhava, the mood and the luster that Lord Chaitanya has, it is the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. Gaurangi, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. That queen of Vrindavan, her mood, the golden-limbed complexion, has been stolen by Krishna. And in that absorption in undifferentiated compassion, Krishna has appeared in this age looking for the most fallen people in order to demonstrate his unlimited mercy. And in finding the most fallen people, he has come across us. Patita pavana hetu tavavata mosamo patita prabhu napai beyara. As is written in these prayers, there's no more fool than us, so therefore that is our qualification. So whenever you feel inclined to become proud and think that you're very elevated, remember that the more that you feel yourself fallen, the more the Lord will be merciful unto you. It is completely the opposite direction. Anyway, let's read and go from there. So Prabhupada writes, so the Lord had vented himself on the Falguni Purnima, evening of 1407, Shakabda. And it was by the will of the Lord that there was a lunar eclipse on that evening. During the hours of eclipse, it was the custom of the Hindu public to take bath in the Ganges or any other sacred river and chant the Vedic mantras for purification. When Lord Chaitanya was born during the lunar eclipse, all India was roaring with the holy sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These 16 names of the Lord are mentioned in many Puranas and Upanishads, and they are described as the Taraka Brahmanam of this age. It is recommended in the Shastras that offenseless chanting of these holy names of the Lord can deliver a fallen soul from material bondage. There are innumerable names of the Lord both in India and outside, and all of them are equally good, because all of them indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because these 16 are especially recommended for this age, people should take advantage of them and follow the path of the great acharyas who attain success by practicing the rules of the Shastras, revealed scriptures. The simultaneous occurrence of the Lord's appearance and the lunar eclipse indicated the distinctive mission of the Lord. This mission was to preach the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord in this age of Kali, quarrel. In this present age, quarrels take place even over trifles, and therefore the Shastras have recommended for this age a common platform for realization, namely chanting the holy names of the Lord. Very powerful, huh? So Prabhupada is given very clearly, in a very pinpointed way, the same point that is being made in this particular verse. Yeah? Gaura Leela is Nama Leela. Yeah? The most important gift that has been given by Lord Chaitanya is to chant the holy names of the Lord incessantly. Incessantly. And as is being brought out in this particular place by Prabhupada, he mentions distinctly the point about chanting offenselessly. Offenseless chanting of these holy names can deliver a fallen soul from material bondage. So there is this contrast. You have a most inauspicious time. Why? This lunar eclipse. What does that mean? The lunar eclipse means Kali Yuga. Right? The most inauspicious age. The age where practically no one has any interest whatsoever in God. None. And of those people who have no interest, those people who profess to have interest, they simply want to use the Lord as their slave. They have tried everything else to be happy, it didn't work. So therefore, now they want to try God and force Him to be their slave to make their material desires happen. So that means two platforms in Kali Yuga. Either we completely ignore the Lord, or if having ignored Him we don't get what we want, then we want to enslave the Lord to get us what we're looking for materially. And bear in mind that enslavement means that once He's given you what you want, then He can be rejected after that. Right? So either you ignore Him completely, or you get Him to do what you want, then you ignore Him. So it's an extremely fallen age. An extremely fallen age. But He is so merciful, He still gives Himself in the form of His holy name. Actually, it's not just that He is merciful, He extends Himself. In proportion to how offensive the living entity is, to that extent the Lord has actually extended Himself. He makes it as easy as possible. Therefore, as has been brought out here, Prabhupada says there are many different names of God given in India and elsewhere, right? And he says they are all equally good. Interesting, isn't it? Prabhupada says that, and yet in other places he will distinctly mention, and Harinand Chintamani distinctly mentions that there are primary names and there are secondary names. Distinctly these things are mentioned. There is differentiation amongst the names. But the essence of it is that in Kali Yuga, Harinama, Harinama, Harinameva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gati Anyata. In this age, there is no self-realization without chanting the names of the Lord. Further on, we'll read about the pastime of the civil disobedience, where Lord Chaitanya got so many followers to chant in Harinam Sankirtan. It is interesting that the Chandkazi who tries to stop Lord Chaitanya, that Chandkazi is Kamsa. In Gaura Leela, he is the Chandkazi. In Krishna Leela, Kamsa. Always causing some type of obstruction. But the obstruction is to enhance the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. So the first principle that we can see, that Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes in Navadvip, from the moment he was born and throughout his pastimes, he's always inducing everyone to chant by emphasizing the all-merciful nature of Harinam. Let me read on. When the Lord was offered solid food at the age of 6 months in the Anaprasana ceremony, the Lord indicated his future activities. At this time, it was customary to offer the child both coins and books in order to get some indication of the future tendencies of the child. The Lord was offered on one side coins and on the other the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord accepted the Bhagavatam instead of the coins. So here we understand through this pastime, there are natural inclinations that people have. Right? There is this idea in some realms of modern education that the child is a blank slate and you kind of make the child a certain person. Actually, you can cover the nature of people. You can warp or distort the nature of people. But actually, the living entity, even in the conditioned state, has a certain kind of nature, a certain tendency. And this was understood in Vedic times. So even from a young age, here it says 6 months, right? He was offered solid food at the age of 6 months. And this also ceremony was there. So at the age of 6 months, they could understand something about the tendency of this child. So he chose Srimad Bhagavatam. And this would indicate his particular mission. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, when he was born, his parents had his chart done also. Prabhupada explains this in the same chapter, if I remember correctly. And the child indicated that this would be a most auspicious personality. So there are always signs. There are always signs. In fact, in the Shastra, there is a science of omenology. In 11th canto Bhagavatam, the way that Uddhava knows that Krishna is going to leave the planet is because he sees inauspicious signs. And he tries to understand, these signs are really inauspicious. What is the most inauspicious thing that could be possible, that could possibly happen? And he works out that the most inauspicious thing that can possibly happen is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to leave. That is the most inauspicious. And then he confronts Krishna, and Krishna confirms, yes, I'm winding up my pastimes. I'm about to go. So within our own lives also, there are signs. If we're very prayerful and very dependent upon the Lord, then Krishna, through his devotees, through guru, through sadhu, through shastra, he can indicate so many things, he can give us so many signs, which we always confirm with our authorities. And they can give us indications about how to go forward. It's very interesting. Anyway, I remember recently one very senior devotee, when Prabhupada's disciple was explaining to me some indication that he was receiving also from the Lord. So a very senior devotee. And I was just reflecting on this point, that Krishna is always communicating and exchanging with his devotees. The purpose of the Lord's descent, as we know, is manifold, but the primary purpose is actually to give loving pleasure, to have loving exchanges with his own devotees. The killing of the demons, even the establishing of religion, in some sense is a secondary. Huh? So the Lord actually is interested in rasa. He's interested in these loving exchanges. And the Sankirtan movement is also an expression of that loving exchange. So when we are giving people Krishna or trying to induce people to chant the names of Krishna, you're trying to share Krishna with others. You're trying to bring them into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tosimaran Shri Shri Gauri Nitya Ki Jai. Okay. Another pastime here. Once a pilgrim Brahmana was received at the house of Jagannath Mishra, and when he was offering food to the Godhead, the Lord appeared before him and partook of the prepared food. The eatables had to be rejected because the child touched them. And so the Brahmana had to make another preparation. The next time the same thing happened. And when this happened repeatedly for the third time, the baby was finally put to bed. At about 12 at night, when all the members of the house were fast asleep within their closed rooms, the pilgrim Brahmana offered his specially prepared foods to the deity, and in the same way, the baby Lord appeared before the pilgrim and spoiled his offerings. The Brahmana then began to cry, but since everyone was fast asleep, no one could hear him. At that time, the baby Lord appeared before the fortunate Brahmana and disclosed his identity as Krishna himself. The Brahmana was forbidden to disclose this incident, and the baby returned to the lap of his mother. Lord Chaitanya, it's interesting how he takes also some delight in just confusing people, right? Very sincere Brahmanas. Bear in mind, you know, at this time, you know, you'd have these very learned Brahmanas, very cultured, right? Very sincere. They tried to make very, very paka offerings. You know, they would take it very, very seriously. If there was something missing, if the offering was adjusted in some way. Because the Lord is their life. Huh? So imagine, three times you're trying to offer. Right? The child has been put to bed and you're trying to offer, and still somehow that same child comes back and is then seemingly spoiling the offering. The offering wasn't spoiled, obviously. But this is also very interesting. This brings out the essential point. When we are doing our services, we have to also remember who the services are for. The entire essential point is we're trying to please Krishna. So it's not judged upon the externals, actually. The acceleration is actually defined by Krishna according to the degree of sincere devotion. Therefore, never get frustrated by the external features of your service. This pastime teaches us that. Do not become frustrated by the external feature of your service. Consider the sincerity of the offering. If you see it in that particular way, you understand it is the endeavor that is the essential thing. Because as Krishna explains to Arjuna, every endeavor is what? Is covered by some fault. And furthermore, we're not the doers anyway. That means even if something goes well, it wasn't you. As I think it was Satchinanda Maharaj put it very nicely. He said, nothing happens because of you. Very nice way of putting it. He said, you know, you're not the doer. Absolutely nothing happens because of us. We desire. And if the Lord is pleased with the devotion, that is the complete result of our endeavor. That is the perfection of our endeavor. At the same time, as a way to express devotion, we are trying to do everything very nicely. So it's not that we are tamasic or rajasic in our preparation, because it's all about the devotion. And it's not that because the externals are good, but it is devoid of devotion, that therefore it is such a wonderful achievement, even if something externally goes well. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's service. We have to always remember that. Because in our movement, in our culture, you get what you recognize. You understand? So if you want to complain that there isn't enough sincerity, we don't treat each other very kindly, we're not so refined. The question is, do you appreciate that when Krishna brings it before you? If you appreciate it, if you respect it, it expands. If it's ignored, unappreciated, then you get what you recognize. What is the purpose of this? The purpose is that every single devotee should be encouraged and appreciated wherever there is devotion. And then, if we have a culture like that, the devotion will undoubtedly expand just by this one act of appreciating the sincere devotion. That devotion is so explosive. It's so explosively powerful that it alone can induce the Lord's mercy to such an extent that this world will be showered, will be completely absorbed in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of his pure devotee followers. You get what you recognize. And it's very interesting, by the determination of this brahmana, what does the Lord do? The Lord actually reveals himself. And this is the original form of our devotional endeavor. I was just thinking that in the kirtan, the really nicely led kirtan, that whatever faults we have, we are always the servant of the Lord. And that position will not change no matter how fallen we are. We will just continue to beg the Lord to accept us. Our service is always like imperfect and flawed, but we will just continue to beg the Lord to accept us. In one place, Prabhupada translates the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, "Dear Lord, please accept me." It's interesting, isn't it? When the Lord accepts your service, he's actually accepting you. That is the point. When the Lord accepts the service of a devotee, he is also accepting that devotee. And it's very interesting. In 7th canto of Bhagavatam, towards the end, Prabhupada makes the point that the Lord refuses to accept service from someone who offends his devotees. Bear in mind, we often take this other side for granted. Here the Brahman has been making so many offerings, but the Lord doesn't have to accept the offering. Right? We say we offer something to the Lord, he doesn't have to accept it. Right? Technically speaking, he does not have to accept anything. So when we are doing an offering, we are simply begging him to accept something. And if he does accept it, it is simply his kindness. So therefore, we should never become proud, and we should never have the familiarity that breeds contempt. So I'm simply trying to offer something to the Lord. It is simply up to him if he accepts my offering. That is all. We remain beggars, but something very miraculous happens in that mood. If a devotee tries to dedicate themselves in the service of the Lord with that mood of begging, right? If you keep having that mood of begging, if we cultivate this internal mood of begging, then the spiritual life becomes very rich and very full. The more one feels themselves fallen, the more one experiences fullness in their devotional life, and especially a fullness in their devotional consciousness. The dependence of the Lord actually creates a fullness. And this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra This is how the Vaishnavas cry. When we consider that there is absolutely nothing we can do to force the Lord to accept our service, we make this very deep connection. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, someone would explain that when they would hear him chanting, he would sometimes sit on the roof of his home and chant. And they said that it was like him calling out to someone far away. When we recognize our fallen condition, it actually enriches our bhakti. And that enriched bhakti means that the devotee, when they're chanting, we simply are crying for the Lord. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the SOS of the soul. So the Shastra does two things. It helps us to burn our material attachments by helping us to understand the danger of this world and how this world is not our home and how this world will not satisfy us. And at the same time, this same Shastra helps us to understand the Lord's attractive potency because we understand how attractive Krishna is. So we're being pushed away from the material platform and we're being pulled towards the spiritual platform simultaneously. These two things are going on. And the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is meant for the living entity who understands that they don't have any control over anything and that we are simply begging for the Lord's mercy. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is how the Vaishnavas cry. Simply for the Lord's mercy. Begging. Okay, let's move on. At the bathing ghat, he also used to play jokes on the neighboring girls who engaged in worshipping Shiva, in hopes of getting good husbands. This is a common practice amongst unmarried girls in Hindu families. While they were engaged in such worship, the Lord naughtily appeared before them and said, "My dear sisters, please give me all the offerings you have just brought for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is my devotee, and Parvati is my maidservant. If you worship me, then Lord Shiva and all the other demigods will be more satisfied." Some of them refused to obey the naughty Lord, and he would curse them, that due to their refusal, they would be married to old men who had 7 children by their previous wives. So be careful. Out of fear, and sometimes out of love, the girls would also offer him various goods. And then the Lord would bless them and assure them that they would have very good young husbands and that they would be mothers of dozens of children. The blessings would enliven the girls, but they used often to complain of these incidents to their mothers. It is interesting. Both in Krishna Leela and in Chaitanya Leela, you see this sweetness. Right? We are not worshipping the Lord in a mood of dry austerity or rigid authority. There is the position of Godhead, but most important, please always remember, there is a personality who is occupying that position. This is the nature of rasa. This very wonderful pastime. They are actually attracted by the Lord's qualities. Think at this point very deeply. We are coming to the point of being attracted by the Lord for who He actually is. This is not merely His position. It is far, far above what He can do for us. But just because He is such a beautiful person. Think about this. And that is why so much in the Shastra is devoted to explaining the very beautiful nature of the Lord. These descriptions, how He looks, how His eyes, they are like lotuses, they are very elongated, very long. The golden complexion of His limbs. How He would anoint His body with sandalwood pulp. Even the way He moves. So many things. You see this also in Bhagavatam, describing Krishna's lips, right? His complexion, the hair, how He dresses Himself. All of these are meant to induce us to come to this point of a very deep understanding of the Lord as a person. Because Prabhupada says to know him is to love him. So therefore, we are not ultimately just worshipping the Lord based upon his position. We are ultimately coming to the point of understanding that he is the most attractive person. And this is what Krishna means. The all-attractive personality. The most beautiful, unimaginatively or inconceivably beautiful personality. And also beautiful in terms of his personal characteristics, as we see in this pastime. Very, very wonderful. Let me read one other. So we'll read this and then... What time does class finish? 8:45? Okay. So one more pastime and then we'll maybe have time for questions as well. This is interesting as well. During this time, a great Kashmir scholar... Actually, let me just say one other thing. Okay. So... Lord Chaitanya, because of his great scholarly nature, he was named Nimai Pandit. And from the age of 11, he would start to explain to people, he would explain Krishna through Sanskrit, you know, just through the understanding of Sanskrit grammar as well. And at the age of 16, he started his own village school, okay? So here it says, in this school he would simply explain Krishna even in readings of grammar. And then we know that Srila Jiva Goswami went on to compose a grammar in Sanskrit, which was called, as it said here, the Hari Namrita Vyakarana. And that Sanskrit grammar is also part of the syllabus of schools in Bengal as well. So he was already a great scholar. So now we read further. During this time, a great Kashmir scholar named Keshava Kashmiri came to Navadvip to hold discussions on the Shastras. The Kashmir Pandit was a champion scholar, and he had traveled to all places of learning in India. Finally, he came to Navadvip to contest the learned Pandits there. The Pandits of Navadvip decided to match Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, with the Kashmir Pandit, thinking that if Nimai Pandit were defeated, they would have another chance to debate with the scholar, for Nimai Pandit was only a boy. And if the Kashmir Pandit were defeated, then they would even be more glorified, because people would proclaim that a mere boy of Navadvip had defeated a champion scholar who was famous throughout India. It so happened that Nimai Pandit met Keshava Kashmiri while strolling on the banks of the Ganges. The Lord requested him to compose a Sanskrit verse in praise of the Ganges. And the Pandit, within a short time, composed a hundred shlokas, reciting the verses like a storm and showing the strength of his vast learning. Nimai Pandit at once memorized all the shlokas without an error. He quoted the 64th shloka and pointed out certain rhetorical and literary irregularities. He particularly questioned the Pandit's use of the word bhavani bhartuhu. He pointed out that the use of this word was redundant. Bhavani means the wife of Shiva, and who else can be her bharta or husband? He also pointed out several other discrepancies. And the Kashmir Pandit was struck with wonder. He was astonished that a mere student of grammar could point out the literary mistakes of an erudite scholar. Although this matter was ended prior to any public meeting, the news spread like wildfire all over Navadvip. But finally, Keshava Kashmir was ordered in a dream by Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, to submit to the Lord, and thus the Kashmir Pandit became a follower of the Lord. In this pastime, the Lord actually takes a very, very humble position, right? He takes a very humble position in his exchanges with Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri demonstrates so much pride, so much pride in his scholarship. There's a warning here for all of us, right? See, we have the Shastra, and one may become knowledgeable in the Shastra, but actually, the symptom of knowledge is humility. Right? If someone has actually understood something, the sign that they've understood something is actually that they are humble. The knowledge is meant to weigh an individual down. Right? The knowledge is meant to weigh you down. And the knowledge is meant to be a description of reality. So what is the reality? Mamaya vamso jivgaloke, that we're extremely small. Huh? And that nothing, as we said before, nothing happens because of us. Nothing happens because of us. When something is seemingly achieved by a devotee, you should trace out in reality what has gone on. Right? If you've achieved something, okay, there are a million other conditions which allowed you to act. Right? You know, someone is able to come to the temple. That means the government had some traffic laws which allowed you to drive. The car was working, which was based upon some laws. Someone built the car. Wasn't you. Like that. Right? Your body is functioning in a particular way. You got your body from material nature. You didn't get your body yourself. Every single day someone will have some kind of paralysis. It is simply by the workings of material nature that your body works properly. Anything you try to achieve is done on the basis of someone else's achievement. Okay, we're going to come to the manor. You didn't build this building. You did not buy this building. Someone else placed a condition upon which... So, in other words, within a certain condition, you're able to do something. Right? Even what you teach, you're simply passing on knowledge that has been given to you by someone else. Right? You'll have some understanding about how to do something. It's because you learned how to do it from someone else. Someone trained you. So when we say humble, what does that mean? Humility simply means that you're in touch with reality. That's all. Because when you're proud, pride means what? It means that you have to minimize everything else that everyone else has done, which has allowed a circumstance to be created upon which you can do something. You understand? So you have to forget that Prabhupada gave you these teachings. You have to forget that so many senior devotees explained and elaborated upon these teachings. You have to forget that George Harrison gave the manner that you could live in to practice these teachings and to worship and to execute these teachings. You have to forget that you were taught how to even read and write. You have to forget all of these things so you can be so proud that whatever you've achieved is something very, very special and it was all about you. And when you look at it, if you make a tally, most of the conditions are done by someone else. So within the entire paradigm of your so-called achievement, you are one extremely insignificant factor. You understand? So this is humility. Humility means to point out that it actually, it's not just a nice thing to say. It is a practical reality that you are very, very small. Your achievement, your so-called achievement is nothing. Nothing. Huh? And you have to forget all of these things. And you have to minimize everyone else in order to feel proud. In order to feel proud. So that's why Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they smash the pride so much. Because if we're proud, it means you are out of touch with reality. Right? And it's not a fluffy religious sentiment. It is a fact of existence. If you're proud, you've forgotten what's really going on in life. Does that make sense? So therefore, the converse is also true. The devotee wants to understand and appreciate everyone. We have no qualification to know about Lord Chaitanya. Right? And you see, this Keshava Kashmiri, he's so proud. He didn't learn the teachings from nowhere. He must have been taught by others. He could consider two things. He could either consider the people who he's sharing with, or he could consider the people who taught him. Right? So we make a choice. Pride means you make a choice. You look at the people who you think are below you so that you can feel at the top of the heap. Humility means you recognize all the people above you so you can understand you're at the very bottom of a very long chain. You understand? And then even those people who are seemingly your junior, actually they're superior to you. They're superior to you. They're serving you by allowing them, by allowing you to share something with them. That means they are giving you an opportunity to serve. Therefore, you should be the most grateful to those people. So we're making a choice about how we see these things. right? You're choosing to be proud. We think, oh, but you know, these circumstances make me proud. No, it's your way of seeing these circumstances, which is a result of our material conditioning, and it is a choice that we have made. That's why we're proud. Huh? And Krishna does not like pride. He doesn't like pride. So if we're proud, it means you can't be close to Krishna. If you want to be close to Krishna, you must become free of this pride. And Lord Chaitanya will help us, as you can see with this particular pastime. He will help the devotee a lot. And we all have experience of that, right? The Lord will help you to become very, very humble by inducing us in various circumstances to understand our actual position. But you can help by learning that first. So humility is the... It is not just the symptom of knowledge. It is actually the beginning of... Excuse me. It is also the beginning of knowledge. Because when you have humility, you can learn. But the moment you think you know everything, your learning actually starts to shrink and close down. And even to the point that you'll forget what you knew before. Savasichahamridishanivishto matasmriti gyanamapohanam cha. Vedeshya save aham eva vidyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna is giving the knowledge, the remembrance, and the forgetfulness. Again, same theme, dependence upon the Supreme Personality of God. It's if you know anything, it is only because Krishna is allowing you to know that. So we are actually always receiving by His mercy. So we should always be humble. If you're humble, what happens is your knowledge becomes realized. Humility allows you to digest the knowledge, to deepen your knowledge to such an extent that it becomes part of you. That's the real purpose of knowledge. It is not to memorize some facts to show off to other people. It is simply to understand how insignificant we are, how kind the Lord is, and to become merged in a mood of deep gratitude and service to the Lord. So wherever you find humility, wherever you find pure unalloyed service, there you will also find realized knowledge. And everything short of that is undigested knowledge due to lack of real deep humility and deep service, deep devotion. Okay. So, it's almost 2:15. We'll stop there. Any questions or comments?